Oh, praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. The message tonight, Adullam, Hebron, Zion. Perhaps all of you are, most of you are familiar with these three names out of the Old Testament scripture. Three strategic places that God led David on his way to establishing the kingdom. And for all of us, these are three very important places in our stage of development with the Lord. Some of you, what I'm going to say tonight is so deeply ingrained in you that it will simply be a confirmation. But perhaps there are others here that are on this progress, this process with the Lord, and the Lord would lead us. Adullam, Hebron, Zion. These three represent a progressive development in God. Let's begin with number one, Adullam. Adullam represents need-based relationship. Need-based relationship. That's where most of us start. David, the great king to be. 1 Samuel 22, 1-2. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. His family came, everyone in distress, those in debt, those who were discontented. David's family gathered to him, most likely out of a natural affinity. They saw he had a call of God on his life. He had been anointed by Samuel. And they said, we're going to support him. A natural affinity and relationship. Others joined David. It says that they came out of distress. Some were distressed by various problems in life. Others came to David, the greater King David, Christ. Others came to David because they were in debt. Maybe we can find prosperity in God. Maybe there's something in God that will help us change our vocations and our livelihoods, and God will provide for us. Others came that were discontented. They were disaffected by life, by politics, by the social state. Many things that afflicted them. And you know, this is so true of most or all of us. When we first come to Christ, we come out of a sense of need. Most people join a church out of a sense of need. A spiritual need, a relational need, financial need, a family need. Say, my kids need God. I need God. And those who gathered to David initially saw in him some hope that he might be a solution to their problems. Jesus too had his Adullam following, and there's nothing wrong with it. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, the Jordan side of Israel, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Jesus had an Adullam following. People that came to him out of a sense of need. And Jesus, in fact, was the one who declared that he was going to come to preach the gospel and bring good news to the people, that he would bring healing to the people and life and deliverance and strength. These were a gift from God, the miracles, the kindness, the mercy, the forgiveness of sins. These were gifts of God for the people. But some did not want to follow Jesus beyond someone who meets my need. But it didn't keep Jesus from pouring out. But he knew some will not follow beyond this Adullam relationship. And so we find in John chapter 6, when he began to call for a greater commitment than someone who meets my needs, that many turned and walked no more with him. They said, we're out of here. John 6, 26 to 27, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, the loaves and the fishes. He said they were a sign. You didn't see the sign. All you saw were the loaves and the fishes, something to meet your need. But they were signs pointing to spiritual truth and reality. I wanted you to see something beyond the loaves and fishes. He said, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then verse 66 to 68, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Need-based relationship is what first really draws us to Christ or to the church. Deep sense of need. And the church too. Jesus knew it. He spoke about it. The church too. Every local church has its Adullam attraction. People come out of a sense of need. And some, when they perceive that their needs are no longer being met, they go and find another cave. Or some, God's touched them. Now he's done miracles. He's blessed them. Their family's strong. Their life is strong. Their finances are strong and stable. God has blessed them and now no longer so needy. They begin to play loose with God in the church. Don't need it as much. Adullam is need-based relationship. It's where we start. Thank God for it. Number two, Hebron. Commitment-based relationship. 2 Samuel 5, 1 to 3. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. We are your relatives, flesh and blood, bone and flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Hebron was the second strategic place as David and the people moved on toward the kingship and the governing of the land of Israel under God. Hebron means covenant. It means communion. It means community, association, fellowship, alliance. It means to join. Now, when we leave Adullam, we take Adullam with us, spiritually speaking. My God shall provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. The provider, Jehovah Jireh, is with us. But we move on to Hebron. And God is starting to work something different in our spirit, something more in our spirit than simply a need relationship with him or the church. He's beginning to work covenant in us, commitment, loyalty, unity, togetherness, corporate strength, my place in the body of Christ, how important it is to work together and serve together in the kingdom and establish something for the greater King David, Christ our Lord. We are your bone and your flesh. We're family. We're family. We're brothers and sisters now, the family of God. We fellowship with one another. We partake one with another. We encourage one another. We eat at the table together. The local church is not a restaurant. It is a family table. And we begin to commit, and we begin to give our lives and fetter ourselves in, obligate ourselves one to another. This is the second great stage in our development. 1 Chronicles 12:38. The Bible says, all these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. A commitment, a covenant in us to make sure that Jesus Christ, the greater David, is king in the earth and that his kingdom is established. And so we commit ourselves with one purpose, to walk with the Lord and serve that purpose. It takes loyal people to build a church, doesn't it? It takes committed people to build a local church with ministry and power and strength and influence, not only in the local region, but on the mission fields of the earth. Ephesians 4:1-3. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to guard the unity of the Spirit. Keep the unity of the Spirit, Paul said, in the bond of peace. With one mind, he said, the local congregations should be striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is Hebron. This is community. This is association. This is fellowship. This is covenant relationship. Philippians 2:1-4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, and there is, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And so we give ourselves in commitment to one another. Adullam, need-based relationship. God says, I'm taking you further. I want you at Hebron. I want you in a commitment-based relationship with me and my people. You're planted in the house of the Lord. You're established. You're a functioning member and a pillar in the house of God. And then we come to number three, Zion, ministry-based relationship. Need, commitment, ministry. 2 Samuel 5:4-7. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to David, saying, you shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you, thinking, David cannot come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David, the ultimate place of his throne, the ultimate place of the leading of God to establish the kingdom of God, Adullam, Hebron, Zion. Zion is ministry-based relationship. It's the place where we come, that we begin to live with a spirit of, it's not so much what do I get, but what can I give? What can I give? Mark 10:45 says this of the greater David. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Not to be served, but to serve, to pour out. to give his life a ransom, to rescue people, to pour out for strength and desire and goodness for others. This is the way of the Lord. Need-based relationship, commitment-based relationship, and then ministry-based relationship. I want to remind you tonight that our greatest and first ministry is unto the Lord. Ministry-based people. Our first and greatest ministry is unto the Lord. Praise and prayer, worship and intercession. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And so we unite our hearts in worship warfare, pulling down strongholds, contending for breakthrough, dancing on injustice. One of these days, when we're in heaven, we will have no more opportunity to win souls for Christ. There will be no more prayers from us. There will be no fasting prayers. There will be no worship warfare from us anymore. But now is our time, and we must take our opportunity. A people with a ministry spirit of praise and worship. The second ministry we have is the one another ministries of the Bible. Ministry-based people. We come to the house of God and we are set with a purpose. How many people can I encourage today? How many people can I lift and strengthen by my faith, by my prayers, by my example? What kind of an effect can I have on the people of God today and on the house of the Lord? So we have the 26 one another ministries. These are for every believer. Every believer. Love one another, serve one another, pray for one another, greet one another, receive one another, admonish one another, edify one another, heal one another. There are 26 one another ministries in the New Testament. And so we say, I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to pour out my life. I know what Zion means. It's the place of David's throne. Zion was the place where the people came and gathered. It was the place of the tabernacle of David, where the people came to the corporate gathering like we do week by week, where they would sing the Psalms. There would be prophetic inspiration. There'd be the preaching and teaching of the word. There would be mutual edification. It was the great place of the gathering of the people so the people could be strengthened and healed and delivered and ministered to and encouraged by not only God, but by the other people, the saints of the living God. Well, we have 26 one another ministries, and they are the all believers ministry, we call it, because they're ministry for all believers. We all have a part there. And then we have the some believers ministry, some believers. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, some to be elders, some to be deacons. So all of a sudden, out of the all believers, yes, there are some believers' ministry. We have different gifts and different callings. Teachers and exhorters and financial givers and deep prayer warriors. Children's ministry, very specific calling and gifting. Youth ministry, women's ministry, spiritual ministry, many practical areas in the house of God. These gifts are distributed individually as the Holy Spirit seeks to do. The Bible says some have ministry of governments and administration and helps, and some are specifically used more than others in gifts of healings and working of miracles and speaking in tongues and interpretation. But the Lord sets the members in the body as it has pleased him. And so this some believers is subject to the Holy Spirit's calling and his sovereign administration on our life. And we also take our part there as the Holy Spirit leads us. Some believers, for some time. Sometimes our ministries have a duration or a limit, or they change. But these are the specific gifts and callings, and they come third. But above all is our ministry to the Lord, our 26 one another ministries, and then let the others play out as they do by the call of the Lord. Zion is a place of worship. Zion is a place of ministry. Worship team, please come tonight. As we close out, the Lord wants to guide us in our life. And tonight, let's take a look at our life. Where am I on my journey with God? Do I still view the church as in a need-based relationship and kind of leave it there? If I'm needy, I'll come. If I'm not, I won't. It's a great place to start, but it's only a start. And God wants to meet us there and minister to us, but he wants to lead us on until we start to take our place in the body. Say, I'm going to be a committed, loyal person in the house of God. I'm going to stand with brothers and sisters. I'm going to eat at the family table. I'm going to be united with my brothers and sisters in community, loyalty, unity, because we want to establish something for the greater David, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we move into the ministry-based relationship to understand Zion in our lives and how we need to pour and give and serve in all the areas that the Lord has called us to. Well, let's close with 1 Chronicles 12:22. What a powerful verse. For at that time they came to David day by day to help him until it was a great army, like the army of God. Like the army of God. These were natural men, spiritual men, but they were men and women just like we are. But the Bible says they were turned into an army of God. For at that time they came to Jesus day by day to help him. How many want to help Jesus? Establish the kingdom, bring righteousness, break bondages, set people free, touch the earth with his power and glory. They came to Jesus day by day to help him until it was a great army, like the army of God. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Where are you in your journey with God, the kingdom, the house of the Lord? Let's take a review of our life tonight. Say, Father, I'm part of Adullam. I'm part of Hebron. I'm part of Zion to serve you, serve your kingdom. Let's make a decision for a loyal heart tonight. The fresh spirit of unity. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Church can only be built by faithful people, loyal people, unified people, strong people, praying people, worshiping people. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, unto him be glory in the church. Unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. And here's our time and opportunity to give ourselves to the call of God in these manners, in these matters. And we thank you, Lord. Man, let's surrender ourselves to the Lord tonight. If anyone would like prayer for any need, please slip out from where you are. Come to the altar. People will come and pray with you. We don't want anybody to be left out. Let's surrender ourselves right now. The word of the Lord.